Out of his great love for us, he came. He left his place in glory, came to earth. He lived among us, being fully man and fully God. He came into the city that would choose to crucify him, all because he loved us. That's the motivating factor of Jesus coming. Listen to this in Hebrews 12:2. Jesus, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. When Jesus was approaching Jerusalem, here's what was happening in him, and this is how it affected him. We see in Luke 19, starting in verse 41, when the city came into view, he wept over it. If you only had recognized this day and everything that was good for you, but now it's too late. In the days ahead, your enemies are going to bring up their heavy artillery and surround you, pressing in from every side. They'll smash you and your babies on the pavement. Not one stone would be left intact. All this because you didn't recognize and welcome God's personal visit. All this because they didn't recognize Jesus' action of love. In John chapter 3, we read in verse 19 through 21, this is the crisis we're in. God's light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God's light and will not come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God's light so that the work can be seen for the God work it is. Jesus is God work. Jesus spent his life actively showing people his love. There is no other way to decipher it or define it. Jesus healed the sick because he loved us. We see in Matthew 14:14, Jesus saw a huge crowd as he stepped off the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He didn't just look for something to do. God wanted him to have love in action. And he did that by healing. He fed the hungry in love. Matthew 15:32 says, then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry, I feel compassion for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days and they have had nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry or they will faint along the way. Jesus fed them. His action of feeding them was because he loved them. Jesus preached the kingdom of God in love because he loved us. In Mark 6:34, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. See, it matters to Jesus how we live our life. Jesus cast out demons in love. In Matthew 8:16, that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick because he loves us. Jesus interceded for his disciples and the church, that's us, in love. From a position of love, from a perspective of love, from the propelling of love. His prayer was in John 17:20-21. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's us. I pray that they will be all we one, just as you and I are one. He's praying to the Father. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. That is a prayer of love for God's people. Jesus gave his life for the world in love. John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. The only reason Jesus came was to save. And it's all motivated by his love. It's the action of love. It's not just the word, the lip service. How many of you know that there are times when you can just give lip service to the word love? But it doesn't really take hold until there's an action step in it.
That's right.
My wife can tell me she loves me till she's blue in the face. But if she doesn't act like she loves me, I don't believe it. It's not that I don't want to believe her, but action is what speaks to us.
Yes.
In the early days when we were dating, I was the first one that said, honey, I love you. And I did everything in my power to show action in that love. That just scared her to death, that's the first thing. But she eventually came around. I think she got tired of running from me, and she finally stopped long enough for me to catch her. But I would sit around thinking of ways that I could show my love to her in a tangible way, because that mattered so much. It's not just lip service. Jesus doesn't just give us lip service. Everything he does is motivated by love, and it's because he loves us. Jesus didn't look for a shortcut or an easy way to go through his life, including the final week here on this earth. He went straight for the plan one, plan A. I'm going to do what the Father asked me to do, no matter what. And I know all these things are going to fall apart right in front of me. And I know it's going to be the most painful physical event I've ever experienced. But I'm doing it because I love them. He took the hard road because of his great love for us. And listen, Jesus tells us this in Matthew 7:13-14. It rules for our lives as well. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. See, Jesus chose action over inaction. Jesus' action was motivated by his love for us. He loved us so much that he didn't take a shortcut. He loved us so much that he went through everything. And I hope that you will revisit this week some of the things that he went through. We're going to be sharing a daily thought for the next 6 days about this week. And I hope that you'll spend some time really thinking about what Jesus went through for you, for me. It wasn't to build a religion. It was to love on people. It wasn't to make any high marks with God. It was to love God's creations. We should be motivated to love just like Jesus. It shouldn't just be lip service. Yeah, we just love everybody. We love God's creations. But we don't do one thing that shows in an active way, in an action event, that we love him. Listen to this in John 2:14-17, and then we'll end with verse 26. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a great day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. unless it produces good deeds. It's dead and useless. Now, you can continue reading that chapter, but jump on down to verse 26. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also is faith. Faith is dead without good works. See, Jesus is still actively showing his love on mankind. And we are, as his representatives, we are to represent him by how we live our lives. So we have a choice. Do we live our life with just lip service about all the things that we want you to hear about God? Or do we add action to it? Jesus does. Jesus shows us how much he loves us by his actions. And what he's asked us to do is to carry on what he's done once he left this earth. The whole purpose for the church is to carry on the works of Jesus. Right. So what if the church is known for their lip service of we love everybody, and we don't do one flipping thing that shows it? Active. Action. It's one of God's love languages. It's one of Jesus' love language to us. And why wouldn't we use it too? Why wouldn't we show people in a very active way that Jesus loves them and we love them? Yes. See, it's a choice. You can choose to be active or you can choose to be inactive. I would say let's choose to be active, showing God's love actively wherever we go. I would say let's make a point to live our lives actively, showing the love of Jesus to people that we come in contact with. This morning, one of our ladies was coming to church, and she bumped into the guy in front of her in the car, and she didn't realize she was even getting close, and so she put it in park and came out of the car just apologizing, "I am so very sorry." And actually, I believe the love of God poured out of her, and this guy just looked at his bumper and said, "No biggie. See you later." And I wonder if she would have come out of that with all these excuses. "Why did you stop right quickly in front of me?" Or "Why da 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 da?" I wonder if that scenario may have worked out differently. See, little things like that are really kind of tests. Are we going to actively represent Jesus? Are we going to act? Are we going to show his love actively? Or are we just going to sit back, say, "Have a great day, hope you eat well and are warm," and not have any action toward it? See, Jesus loved us unconditionally. He actually didn't have to actively do anything because he loved us conditionally. But he did. And he's asked us to do the very same thing, to actively speak love to his creations. Now, I know we all have pet groups that we love and pet groups that we don't love so much, but Jesus didn't draw that distinction. Jesus loves everyone. And he showed his love to them, even if they rejected him, even if they rebuffed him, even if they were hostile to him. He went to the cross. Some of the last words he would have cognitively heard is the crowds saying, "Crucify him. We would rather let Barabbas go, who deserved to die." Those words. And then his prayer is, "Father, forgive them. Those that are doing all this crazy stuff to me and causing so much pain, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." I wonder if we have gotten a glimpse of God's love enough that it makes an imprint on us and therefore changes our actions. See, if it just changes a few things that you think about, I'm not sure you're really changed. I've said this before, and our boys were growing up. We have four boys, and they would be fast to say, "Dad, I'm sorry I did that." And I really got tired of hearing, "I'm sorry I did that," and they turn right around and do it again. So out of my impatience, I said, "Unless something changes, you're really not sorry." Now, I didn't deliver it to them as nice as I just said it to you. I was at my wit's end. You've said you're sorry for doing this 100 times, and here you are again saying you're sorry. I don't believe you're sorry. Now, I shouldn't have been that hard. But the thought, the whole concept is, if I have apologized and I am sorry and I am repentant, there's a change that follows it, and it is an action. That no longer are I'm just giving my parents lip service. No, I'm changing as the Word of God pours into me. I am changing, and it's going to affect my behavior. It's going to affect how I act. Jesus never asked us to do anything that he has not done for us in advance. He's never asked you, and he's also never asked you to do it alone. I don't know how many times I said, "Jesus, that's just too hard for me. I can't do that." There are other people that are more equipped for that. And Jesus reminds me immediately, but you're not doing it in your own strength. You're not alone in this. So when we make decisions to actively show love to others, guess who's with us? Jesus. Because that is the way of Jesus. That's not the way of the world. That's the way of Jesus. And when we actively step into the arena that God wants us to be in, with the power of the Holy Spirit there, all kinds of things can happen. We say all the time that Easter is probably the biggest attended Sunday worldwide of people hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you may follow up with saying, "Well, they just want to dress up, or they want to please their mama." All this, whatever reason it happens, they hear the gospel. They're faced with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder if we have allow God to build in us the capacity to love every one of those that will make a decision this coming Sunday. I wonder if you even think about, do I have the capacity, am I willing to have the capacity to love like Jesus? I hope we are willing. I hope that God saves some really, really, really lost people over the next week. Our heart cry is that none would perish, that all would become repentant. All would come to the full knowledge of Jesus. But what happens then? What's next? The church will be the vehicle of Jesus' love. And we show that in very active ways. It's not just, "Here's a card, the church loves you, see you later." No. How does God want me to minister to someone to show the love that he's shown me? When I think about how he has loved me through the worst possible situations, he has never withheld his love, even when I went against his word. He never withheld his love. That's the kind of love that is transforming. And that's the kind of love that his church, the body of Christ, is to operate in. That needs to be the love language that we have for God's creations. Jesus served us and showed us how he loved us. Jesus taught us, it showed us that he loves us. Jesus gave us all kinds of things that shows us how much he loves us. And his action shows us that he loves us. We're going to talk next Sunday about how his obedience shows us his love. But I want you to think, all these ways that Jesus has shown us that we love him, it's not just to make us feel loved. It certainly is that. But what are we going to do with that? are we going to be a conduit for the love of Christ? I hope you would say yes to that. I hope that every single one of you say, yes, I want to be a conduit of the love of Christ to everybody that I come in contact with. So I'm going to have to start speaking the same language as God. Serving, teaching, giving, action, and certainly obedience. Jesus gave up everything to come to this earth as a baby, growing in the things of God, being fully man but fully God, loving God's creations, bringing honor to the Father, bringing honor to the Father. And we have that responsibility. And it's not a weighty thing. It's a weighty thing if you think that you're doing that by yourself, but you're not. You cannot love people like Jesus loved people without Jesus. You can't serve people like Jesus served him, served us without him. You can't teach them. You can't do the right stuff in Jesus' name without him being a part of it. He wants to mobilize us to go therefore and to do whatever he says to do. And that's to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. Those are actions. And those are biggies. But he's also anointed us to preach the message of love. To love those, especially those that are unlovable. Especially those that work against you. Especially those that have sought to destroy you and to done have tried to do everything to tear you down. Especially those. The model we have is Jesus. We take how he lived, how he loved, how he served, how he taught, how he gave, how he did things, and we lay it over our lives. And with the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus being right there, we can do all kinds of things. We can be a part of this great revival that the end times talk, that the Bible talks about, that there's a day that he's going to pour out his Spirit among all flesh. All flesh. That means every single person will have the opportunity to know who Jesus is and the power that comes with it. It is not an experience void of power. It's an experience chock full of power, life, resurrection power, the impossible power. Jesus modeled all this to us first because he loved us, and that was what the Father wanted him to do. But he also left us here to do his stuff. To do the stuff. The stuff in the New Testament that shows what Jesus was about doing all the time. Jesus wants an active body. You know what happens when you're not active? You get kind of stove up. If I find that I've sat at my desk too long during the day, when I stand up, It takes a moment just to get things moving again. I know none of you are like that, but for me it is. And I'm reminded that I'm not 20 anymore. But when you're inactive, things stiffen. And when you're inactive in the spirit realm, there is a stiffness that comes when it is not supposed to be stiff. It is supposed to be limber. It's supposed to be fluid. It's supposed to be easy. It is supposed to be a first nature kind of thing. So inactivity is not good. My Fitbit was not pleased with me on Friday. Friday this week would happen to be my study day. Normally it's Thursday, but I needed to study on Friday this week. So anyway, so I didn't do anything active, and you can look at my Fitbit and it goes, and then Saturday is back up. So my Fitbit was disappointed in me that day. Although I was working on kingdom stuff, I don't think God was disappointed, because God gets glory out of our yielding to him And he wants to use his church. Oh gosh, he wants to use you in ways that you've never even seen yourself minister. And you can do that when you apply what Jesus says to how you live. And it's not just lip service. It's action. He wants us busy about his work. The challenge for us today is to live according to the standards modeled by Jesus so that others would see Jesus in us. Love in action. That's what Jesus does. Love in action is what we should do. Love in action. In fact, years ago, many of you remember Evelyn Cook. She passed away some years ago, but she had a small group, and the name of her group was Love in Action. And she had that small group, I want to say, 10 or more years. And her group was all about doing stuff for Jesus in the name of Jesus with love. And you would not be able to participate in her group if you didn't have a love of Jesus in you, because that was the only reason they were gathering, is to put feet to the love of Jesus in this lost and dying world. Love in action is just easy to say. It's harder to do. But I challenge you, this very week, you will run into people that maybe need just an invitation to come to church. It's not to fill up the seats here at North Star. It's to get them into a place where they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That could be the first big step you take in love, is inviting someone to hear the message of Jesus, even if you tell them to go somewhere else. As long as the message of Jesus is being preached, we don't care. You know, we've got our own little thing. We say Easter at North Star. But the big thing is, not North Star, the big thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you will have an opportunity this week to invite people to the biggest day that the gospel gets propelled in any other day of the year. Could it be that that's the first big action step of love that you take, is you start caring about someone else's eternity? Love in action is what Jesus did for us. And what he did for us, he's asked us to do in this world, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.